This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend, and we're glad you're spending time with us. If you'd like to participate, you can give us a call at 877-217-5757 or send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we're joined by a guest who always creates a buzz, Foster Campbell, veteran public service commissioner, elected to that body in the year of 2002 after serving more than a quarter century in the Louisiana legislature as a senator, first elected in 1975. And good morning to you, Commissioner Campbell.
Good morning.
It's nice to hear your voice, and joining us, I think, from Bossier City this morning is Foster Lonnie Campbell, Jr. And Foster Campbell, before we get to the task at hand, we're going to talk some about politics and, of course, about the Public Service Commission and a big debate in the offing on solar energy. In 44 years, our state has evolved from a blue state to a red state. When you were first elected to the state Senate, how many Democrats and Republicans were there in the 39-member body?
Well, when I got elected, there was one Republican, and he was a fine gentleman. His name was Edwards Barham from Oak Ridge. Probably one of the smartest guys I ever served with was a gentleman from the word go, and a very progressive guy, very conservative on physical matters. You might remember Edwards Barham now voted to decriminalize marijuana in 1977. That beat him, the next election that beat him. But when I asked about that, he thought it was the right thing to do. He was a guy that was led by principle. He was very well respected and went on to serve on some education boards doing a good job. He was a fine gentleman. He had a word that was good as gold, and everybody liked Edwards Barham.
Well, 1976 then, when you come in the bicentennial year in the state legislature, 38 Democrats and one Republican in the Senate? Was that the way it was?
That's the way it was.
And now, in 2020, when John Bel Edwards may or may not be reelected and serving as governor, even if he wins as a Democrat, he'll probably have to deal with a Senate that is more than two-thirds Republican, meaning it's veto-proof. If all the Republicans collaborate on a vote, they can undo or overdo, whatever way you want to look at it, anything he does. What does that do to the politics of a Democratic governor? Does it put John Bel Edwards in a box?
Makes him work real hard. Some of the things he wants, he might not can get passed. But I'd sort of have to give this guy credit. He inherited a mess from Bobby Jindal, a big deficit. Now he's got a balanced budget. So evidently he's working with somebody down there pretty good.
Well,
as they say in the country, that's the proof in the pudding. He had a balanced budget, and the Republicans had to vote for it to get it done. So, and we have to have a balanced budget. So he worked with them pretty good. He's doing something pretty good, or evidently he never would have got that done.
I recall on Election Eve in 2015, you were on the air with yours truly, along with Mike Johnson, who predicted that David Vitter was going to win. And you said that the governor, the current governor, John Bel Edwards, was going to win and win handsomely. Turned out you were right. This time around, there are people who are predicting that John Bel Edwards is headed for defeat. How do you handicap this one?
Same way I did last time. I hadn't changed my mind. I think he's going to win. He has handled himself like a gentleman. I don't ever hear him. I hadn't heard any real outburst or anything that he's done to make people really mad, unless you just don't like Democrats. Now, I can understand that if you're that partisan and you just don't want a Democrat. Well, he's a Democrat, and he's not switching, so I can understand you're not for him. But to get along with people, he's got along down there. There's been no scandals. He got a balanced budget. And I think that speaks pretty good because he's, like you say, he's not he's surrounded by people from a different party. And a lot of them, or some of them, would like to see him not do good. I think he's kept the state in mind and trying to push the state forward and help. And that's good. Let me just say this, what I've experienced through the years. It's real easy to be against things. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. I'm against this. I'm against that. I'm against this. But show me a politician that is against everything that gets anything done. That's the easiest thing in the world. I'm against all taxes. I'm against this, blah, blah, blah. You hear that. But you have to have schools. You have to have hospitals. You have to have roads. You have to have colleges. And to have a civilized society, you want Louisiana to move forward. We're having enough problems. We're always at the end of most good statistics and at the top of bad statistics. But you have to, this is a poor state with a lot of poor people, and we cannot just be against everything that's going to help people. Our job is to do everything we can to help the people of Louisiana do better, get better educated, send their kids to school. We have to do that. And if we don't do that, then no civilized big companies are going to come here with their corporate people. They're not going to move into Louisiana when you don't have an educated workforce. And it costs money to educate people and train them. So the bottom line, this guy's doing the best he can do. Sure, there's things that he probably wishes he could have got passed. He couldn't get passed. But to argue about a little tax down there, I understand that a sales tax, this or that, you know, they get serious. Those guys know how to solve the problems. There are taxes that we could pass. I've been for an oil and gas tax for the multinational oil companies have used our state. They don't have the courage to pick on somebody that can fight back. They want to just argue about a little sales tax here and that, and he didn't do this and he didn't do that. I think he's doing the best he can do with the legislature he has. It's nothing like when I was down there when we had Republicans and Democrats. John Hankel and I worked together, got along fine. We passed that on the tobacco settlement. I got $1 billion for schools. He voted for it. We used to get along fine. We might fight. We always went out to eat dinner, or we were always civil to each other. I went to Tulane ball games with John Hankel. He was a big Republican, but I don't think that's happening today.
All right, hold tight, Foster Campbell. We got a lot of people who want to talk with the commissioner, Foster L. Campbell, commissioner, public service commissioner, the same job that Huey Long and John McKithen held before they became governor of Louisiana. Kathleen Blanco was also a PSC member for a while. Let's go to David in Shenandoah. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with Foster Campbell. Hi, David.
Good morning, Mr. Campbell and Jim. Foster, I was just curious if you were planning on running for Senate and taking Mr. Alario's place.
All right. Foster Campbell is up for re-election next year, and it's too late to get in a legislative race, but you'll be running, I understand, for re-election to the Public Service Commission, right?
That's correct. That's correct. I like the Public Service Commission. I represent 24 parishes up here, a million people, and it's a lot of consumer issues. Basically, that's what it is, and I like consumer issues, so it's a nice place to serve, and I like the job, and hopefully I get re-elected. We're already started campaigning. We're raising money and doing the things that you have to do to get reelected, so I'm full speed ahead.
Now, you're a Democrat and probably the last populist Democrat in statewide office, and I don't think you would shy from that term, but John Bell Edwards is more of a conservative to moderate Democrat, but he is a Democrat, and I have it on good authority that before two governors, other governors, the President of the United States asked John Bell Edwards to switch parties, saying he would, quote, clear the field for him if he ran as a Republican for governor. Why do you think John Bell Edwards remained in the Democratic fold?
Well, I hope it's because he believes in Democrats. I'm sure that's it. I don't think he's a Republican. You know, he's not ashamed to be a Democrat. I'm not either. Who should be? I mean, we're for people. Our party, there's a lot of people in our party, like you say, it's a big white tent. A lot of people think some real different ideas. But by and large, the Democratic Party care about the people, the mass. We want business to do well, but we don't want to be the, we don't want the people forgotten. So I think that's the way he feels. He knows that that's exactly did what he did, helping people on the expansion of Medicaid, things like that. Bobby Jindal was against that. That was a real clear example right there. Black and white deal, Bobby Jindal was against. First thing he did was to help. I mean, he's got a heart to help people who can't help themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it is fine. I think he thinks it's fine. So I don't think he's going anywhere. He's a Democrat, and a lot of politicians would have taken that deal now. A lot of them said, oh, well, let me see. You're going to make sure that I can win, and I'll take that deal.
We'll return with Foster Campbell and go to the phone lines again after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Foster Campbell, a politician who always speaks his mind. Sometimes it's gotten him in hot water, but he has been resilient. He has been continuously in elected office in our state as a state senator for 27 years and now as a public service commissioner for 17 since 1976. 877-217-5757, Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. You're on the air with Foster Campbell. Hi, Rinaldi.
Commissioner Campbell, pleasure to speak to a great Democrat. And just a couple quick points, Jim. I think Governor Edwards is a balanced Democrat and shows that our party can have a pro-life Democrat as well as someone who expands. But my question to you is this, Commissioner Campbell. In the 1950s, New Orleans was the same size as Houston. We have far, far many resources than other states like Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. But yet, Louisiana is still behind, given all those governors of years. And I went to high school when you first got elected. So what do I tell my millennial kids about wanting to stay, live, work, play, and enjoy Louisiana?
Jim, would you...
Well, he was commenting about... Louisiana,
yeah, I know.
Being the same size as, or New Orleans being the same size as Houston in the 50s, and now we know that Houston's bigger than the whole state. But what can you do, or any politician do, to allay the concerns of people who are either deliberating about moving out or having their kids leave to go to greener pastures? What's the sales pitch to stay?
That's a great question, and I think there's a simple answer. Not simple. It's complex, but it takes courage from politicians. I have said for a long time, and I know this is controversial, but I truly believe it. I believe that Louisiana has sold out to the special interest. We have not got enough for our state. Our state has been taken advantage of, and I think that the politicians should ask more from the big companies that have come to Louisiana and have used our resources. No one in this state can tell me, with all the resources we've had, how can we be tied with Mississippi? The only answer you can say there is the politicians have sold us out. They didn't get they weren't good traders. They didn't get enough for all the stuff they've used up in this state. I live in North Louisiana. Alexander's not doing well. Neither is Monroe, and neither is Shreveport. We are dying on the vine. We need more jobs in North Louisiana. So I know what you're talking about. But until the politicians demand more of the companies that use our resources, we're always going to be poor. We got to have politicians that will stand up and tell the companies, yeah, we want you to come to Louisiana. We want you to use our resources, but they're not going to be like they have in the past, very, very cheap, where you have a big profit and the people suffer. Thanks for that question, because you got your finger on the problem.
877-217-5757. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a moment, but I'll pass along some questions from listeners. Steve Winham writes, would Foster Campbell agree our politics have become bland in the absence of passionate people like V.J. Bella, Pepe Bruno, Avery Alexander, resulting in more apathy among our citizens about how we are governed? Your thoughts, Foster Campbell?
I think he's right. 60 Rayburn, put him in there. It's people like that that used to give impassioned speeches, and they meant it. And I don't see as many people, and I hate to say this, I don't see as many people that are really care. It used to be if you were a state senator up here in North Louisiana, that was a big deal, and those jobs were fought for and debated about. I just don't see as many people involved in politics in our state as it was in the past. I don't think it's as passionate, and that's a problem, because when you lose the passion and you lose the interest, you don't have as much being done. And then you have a certain group that controls the legislature. Now, this is controversial, I know that, but I think the lobby people, I saw the other day, they endorsed all Republicans, not one Democrat for the legislature, all Republicans for governor, I saw that. I think lobby likes it like that because they can take the money they have, and they have a lot of money, and they can pretty much control the legislature. And that's a shame. That's a shame because everything that big business wants is not good for Louisiana. People have to make a living here, too. We ought to raise the minimum wage in Louisiana. They can stand to do that, but we ought to do that.
Here's a question from Mary Patricia saying hello to her former boss in the Garden District. She says, how do you think the Public Service Commission can impact the lives of everyday people in Louisiana? And how can people get involved to make sure it does? What about your work with the PSC? And by the way, the PSC only has 5 members representing the whole state. So Foster Campbell represents more people than members of Congress do. But what does the PSC do that can impact everyday life in Louisiana?
Well, you can make sure that the Public Service Commission does exactly what the name is the Public Service Commission, that we represent the people and not just the big companies. The big companies have a lot of influence at the Public Service Commission, but we're supposed to be independent there, and we represent the people of the state. And a lot of times that's sort of hard because the companies really push hard to get their way. We're going to probably talk about that a little bit later, about solar power in Louisiana. The companies would like to have all the solar power and the people not have any. They don't want people having solar power if they tell you the truth, but I'm for people generating electricity from solar power. We need wind power. We need competition in the state of Louisiana from all sources.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, I want to get to as many of you as possible. I think we just lost Dan, so please call back, Dan, and we will get you in. Let's go to Henry. I'm having difficulty with my phone in here, JC, so pull up David in Atlanta if you can. There we go. David, you're on with Foster Campbell. You're going to have to pull up Commissioner Campbell as well. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. 60%, I read, of Louisiana's energy can be supplied by offshore wind power, and at the time there's a monster hurricane off the coast of Florida, which could be knocking on southeast Louisiana right now. The President of the United States has reversed President Obama's executive order for oil and energy companies to cap methane, which is a super greenhouse gas, and the Republican delegation in Washington, Louisiana, will not say a word about it. They totally support President Trump's insane idea that climate change is a Chinese hoax. And to give you an example of how politicians have been bought by the special interests, Steve Scalise receives an enormous amount of money from the fossil fuel industry, and Bob Marshall has written that in 60 years, Steve Scalise's district will be 60% or half, 50% underwater.
All right. Thank you, David. Foster Campbell, your thoughts?
I've been saying the same thing, too. I want to know where these guys are. Mr. Graves in Baton Rouge was giving a speech one time at LSU. He was talking about coastal erosion. And I said, you know, it's ironic. Last year, Mr. Graves was on Mr. Jindal's side, and he was fighting a bill that would have be able to sue the oil companies for tearing up the coast. So that's the problem. You got politicians like that. One day he's working for Bobby Jindal, making sure that you can't sue the oil companies. The next day he's flip-flop, and he's worried about the coast. Well, Steve Scalise ought to be worried about the coast. He lives down there. They know about coastal erosion. They suffered through Katrina. But none of those guys will stand up and tell the oil companies to pay for the damage they've caused. Now, how hypocritical is that? They talk about, and then they want to talk about there's no climate change. Well, everybody knows there's a climate change. The president said there's no climate change. 20 of the most learned scientists in America say we have climate change. Now, who are you going to believe? 20 of the most learned scientists? Or are we going to believe Steve Scalise and President Trump? I'm going to be on the side of the scientists.
All right. A listener notes that Senator Landrieu, when she was in office, also opposed the lawsuits against the oil and gas companies, but she was connected
closely. She was wrong. She was wrong.
Well, Governor Edwards, that is one area where he, on a lot of these domestic economic issues, he is in accord with Foster Campbell. He was with you on this one, and General Honoré, and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. But nonetheless, it caused a lot of politicians to take a stand. And you're right; some voted to say that oil companies were responsible for tearing up the coast and should be held liable, and others said, no way, this big industry in our state needs all the help it can get, and this is not the way to address past grievances. We'll talk more with Foster Campbell after this brief timeout for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. J.C. Kane is producing, and your number again, 877-217-5757. Foster Campbell with us for a little longer. He is the Public Service Commissioner representing much of North Louisiana and was a member of the Louisiana Senate from the 36th District for 17 years. 877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Foster Campbell. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, Mr. Campbell, are you trying to say that our public officials are more concerned about themselves and their bankrollers than about the public they promised to support?
What do you say, Glenn?
He asked if public officials are more concerned about their bankrollers than they are about the public.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that lobby controls the legislature. You want me to be just flat honest with you? I think lobby, Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, controls the legislature. They've got people from DeSoto Parish or Madison Parish or Bienville Parish voting, a lot of them, legislators voting right down the line with them. And I just got through telling you that North Louisiana is dying on the vine. We need help. But yet we've got some of our conservative legislators down there voting right down the line as if they lived in the country club of Louisiana.
Dan downtown, thank you so much. Let's go to Phil. Excuse me, Phil's next, but Patrick, who's been waiting for a while, Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, you talk about special interests controlling everything. What about these teacher, and I say that in quotes because they don't really represent teacher, but these teacher unions that, you know, have mandatory membership and basically control our horrible education system. And we now have an education system that serves this union instead of the kids that are trapped in these horrible schools. What about that? Is that a special interest?
Yeah, everybody's a special interest, you know. But I don't know about the teacher unions. They stick together, and just like anybody else, I think they have a right to be in the union. I taught school. And I started out teaching for $400 a month. When I first got out, I taught at Plain Dealing High School when I got out of school. And then I taught at Houghton High School. And so the salaries have gone up since then. But I think to attract good people, you're going to have to pay them. You can't graduate somebody from LSU and tell them they're going to make $20,000 a year. They're not going to be interested in teaching. Everybody has abuses. But by and large, though, I think that the teacher organizations really, really care about their students. I really do.
What about solar power? You mentioned that the PSC is headed for a potential collision on this. And when I say it's coming soon, and we're talking about a week from tomorrow's a meeting, September 11th here in Baton Rouge, will there be fireworks, Foster Campbell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hot and heavy. Let me just see if I can explain my situation there. We had once at the Public Service Commission, we had a rural electric co-op manager from over in southwest Louisiana came to the commission, and he was all worried about solar power. And I asked him, I said, I hear you. Help me a little bit with this. How many people do you have on solar power? No, I asked him, how many members do you have in your co-op? He said, about 12,000. I said, well, how many people on solar power? He said, 8. I said, oh, really? That's a big problem. Why don't you come back to see me when it gets worse? What I'm saying is I appreciate it. There's only about 20,000 people in Louisiana that have rooftop solar. You've seen the houses with the solar installations on top. And there's about 2 million people in the state of Louisiana that get electricity from investor-owned companies like SWEPCO, Energy Corporation, and CLECO, et cetera. So 20,000 out of 2 million is less than 1%. I'm not. I don't want to put any. I don't want to make it harder for people who have solar power. I'm for them. I am for solar power. It's clean. I am for wind power. It's clean. The biggest objections, a lot of the biggest objections you have to alternative power sources are from the oil companies that would love to sell all the natural gas to the people to make electricity out of natural gas. We've come up with solar. It's cleaner. And we have a lot of sun in Louisiana and wind power. We don't have a lot of wind in Louisiana. It doesn't blow at all. Some off the coast, but not. I don't think it's feasible off the coast.
What does this measure before the commission do exactly?
Well, for example, if a man and his wife have a solar panel on his house, today, if your house uses, just say, 1,000 kilowatts of electricity, okay, and it costs 10 cents per kilowatt, I'm just using this hypothetically, then your bill would be $100, 10 cents on 1,000, it would be $100 a month. If you put a solar panel on your house and you generate generate 80 kilowatts, 800 kilowatts, you'd have an $80 credit. So all you would owe Energy Corporation would be $20. They give you full retail for the electricity you generate on top of your house, and you'd get $80 for that. In your bill at the end of the month, you would owe them $20. Now, what the utility companies would like, they don't want to pay you full retail for that. They want to pay you avoided cost or something like that, which would be the cost it costs them to produce electricity. I'm not for that. I want them to pay you full retail. Now, they say there's some people have produced an excess power. In other words, they produce more than the 1,000 kilowatts, and they don't want to put that back to the grid, and put it back to the utility companies. Well, I don't think they ought to have to pay full retail for that. But I do, on the amount that you use in your house, I think they ought to pay full retail. Now, here's where the mule jumps the fence. Very, very few people produce more power than they use. I think it's like 1% or 2%. So that's they're saying, well, what about all these people? That's not all these people. There's very few people ever produce more than they use. So the people who invested in solar power in Louisiana, they did it in good faith. They have generating. They spent thousands of dollars, and they're generating electricity, and I want them to be paid full retail price if they use what they produce. Now, if they produce more than they use, which I'm telling you, very, very few people do that, they ought to be able to sell that back at half wholesale or something like that. Because just think about this. If people that use solar power, that means there are fewer plants that have to be built, and fewer plants means less money they charge to you, the consumer. They charge all these plants. When they build a plant, they put it in their rate base, and we have to pay them for these new plants. They're not.
All right. We've got some folks waiting, and I want to get to them, and also got some people who have sent several emails, and I'll get to a few of those as well. But before we go there, this quite likely, Commissioner, could be another one of those 3-2 votes either way. It seems like this is one of those that invites a collision of philosophies on the PSC.
Right.
Okay. Carl Motzenbacher writes, our local energy utility does not have an office anymore in Baton Rouge that one can interact with when one has a dispute. Why is Entergy not having an office in Baton Rouge? The closest is in New Orleans. What do you think about this?
I didn't know that. I'm glad you brought it up. I have no excuse for not knowing about it, but I wasn't aware of it. I don't represent that area, but there ought to be some place in Baton Rouge that you ought to be able to go and talk to someone. I'll check that out. I was not aware of that.
Ike and Gonzalez says, ask Foster Campbell if he has any opinion on the idea of local ITEP approvals by taxing bodies which never bother checking to see whether their applicants might already owe money or huge fines because of violations their attorneys may be unaware of. This ITEP program, of course, has been under examination. Have you weighed in on this?
No, I haven't. No,
okay.
I haven't.
All right. Miriam, in Mandeville, writes, Foster and I can be chumps together for caring about the public good and the good of this country and caring that citizens are more than mere consumers. That's what Republicans call us when they're being nice. That is chumps. I'm sure you're okay with that one. Okay, let's go to Ray in Prairieville, then Phil in Jefferson Terrace. And there is one line open now, 877-217-5757. Ray, you're on Talk Louisiana with Foster Campbell.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. And thanks to Mr. Campbell for being on your program. By the way, without elaborating, I agree with most of your stands, and we're not going to get much change in Louisiana until we get people out to vote. I did look it up a while back, and we have the Democrats actually have a larger registration by 400,000 than the Republicans, but apparently they don't get out and vote. I'm sure they would be in favor of solar power, wind power, clean air, do away with the denial of climate change. How do you think that the Democratic Party can improve itself to get the people out and vote?
That's a big question, and we'd all like to see everybody go vote, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The Republicans have a better record of going out to vote. But I think one way, if the legislature and did their job and politicians did their job and people are not, they're not foolish, if they thought politicians actually represented them, I think more of them would go out to vote. I think a lot of them would just think it's hopeless and they don't do it anymore, and that's a shame. But you see that all across the United States. But you are right. If people were real responsive, politicians would listen to them. The worst thing a politician wants is a real educated public and calling them on the votes they make. A lot of the people in Congress vote. We never hear how they vote, or we don't pay attention or whatever.
877-217-5757. Time for a short pause, and we'll return in a couple of minutes and hear more from Foster Campbell. If you'd like to get in under the wire, 877-217-5757, or talk at talklouisiana.org. Back after this brief pause. This is Jim Inks. Have you with us for Talk Louisiana? 877-217-5757 is your number for Foster Campbell in our remaining time with him, and then we'll hear from Darlene Adams-Roland from Breda. Her organization's involved intricately in the Red Stick Farmers Market, which is coming on its 23rd anniversary.
Wow.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. And my question would be the people who have the nerve enough to hold a public town meeting, I would like them to tell me how many times they voted to end Obamacare and how much money they get from the NRA.
All right. Well, those are questions, of course, that politicians are going to have to answer for in most cases, and the voters generally take note and vote whichever way they were going to, no matter what the revelations indicate. But Foster Campbell, you can't win an office without contributions. And Daniel notes that public service commissioners, and this is obviously the case of judges as well, judges take money from lawyers, and PSC members get contributions from utilities they regulate. Is there anything inherently sinister about this?
It of course it'd be better if you didn't have to do it, but here's the other side, and everybody knows this. This is no great finding. Then you, if you didn't let anybody take any money from people that you regulate or you work with, or wealthy people, only wealthy people could serve. These races cost millions of dollars, and you have to have contributions. No one can afford these races at millions of dollars unless you're extremely wealthy. And I don't know that you'd want to be governed by people who don't have the same problems that you have. That gentleman was talking about the National Rifleman Association. I'd like to say something about that. I am a bird hunter. I have bird dogs. I have 40 shotguns, 40, okay, and a 30-06 deer rifle. I do that in my closets at home. And I'm a bird hunter. I bird hunt all over Louisiana and Texas. And I have squirrel dogs. I'm a squirrel hunter. But I've never been endorsed by the NRA because they only endorse pretty much Republicans. I ran against some guys that one of them, Bobby Jindal, I don't know that he'd know the difference between a shotgun and a Daisy BB gun. But they endorsed Bobby Jindal over me. And I was the Wildlife Federation Legislator of the Year. I'm the guy that created Acres for Wildlife, Black Bear license plates, Bob White license plates, and they supported Bobby Jindal over me. I don't think he would know what a Daisy BB gun was.
All right, here's a observation from Heather, who's the Media Relations Manager for Louisiana Federation of Teachers, says, I wanted to clarify for your listeners what a previous caller spoke about. In Louisiana, no teacher can be compelled to join a union, she writes. Membership is completely voluntary. And, J.C., let's try to get a call or two on, but please be brief in your remarks. Linda in Millerville. Linda, good morning. You're on with Foster Campbell. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
I was calling because I am 73 years old. I lost my house last year. I had to move into an apartment. And I tell you what, these companies, I had to move from Entergy to Demco, and Demco ended up charging me just to have air in my apartment.
All right. Well, Foster Campbell, do you hear this often? And thank you for sharing your story, Linda. Is this a common complaint from ratepayers?
Yeah, I tell the lady, Linda, that she said she's 73. I'm 72. I'm on your side. Call our office up here in Shreveport, and we'll try to help you with Demco, if you'll do that. Give her my number there, Jim, if you would, and we'll try to help, and we'll get Craig Green to try to help her down there, too. I hear what she's saying.
All right, final caller for Foster Campbell. Please be brief. Nell in Central. Hi, Nell. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm also a Demco customer, and there was litigation about the management at Demco that made the news months and maybe more than a year ago now. What has that been resolved?
I'm glad you brought that up. No, it hasn't been. I've had trouble with the rural electric co-ops with their management making too much money. I mean, their board of directors. As you know, co-ops are nonprofit, and we had co-ops in North Louisiana that some of their nonprofit board members were making $50,000 a year paying for their hospitalization and everything else, which is absolutely ridiculous. So we passed a rule at the Public Service Commission to stop that. And now we're being sued by the co-ops saying that we didn't have the right to do that. Co-ops should serve the people. I don't think that their board members should make any money. If not, $300 or $400 a month would be fine. Some of them are making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. They pay full benefits, which they shouldn't do. These people go to meetings once a month or twice a month. They ought to go there like nonprofit board members should. But it's got out of hand. And the co-op board members that run the co-op are being way overpaid, and we're trying to do everything we can at the Public Service Commission. But as I say, they're suing us because they think that we've overstepped our authority.
All right. Well, Foster Campbell, we do have to roll. I do want to note that Foster Campbell's top aide, Bill Robertson, can be reached at 318-676-7466. That's 318-676-7466, Bill Robertson. Foster Campbell, many thanks. Always great to talk with you. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Our pleasure.